Hello and welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am Chameleon or Chris. I'm one of your hosts here today, of course. And I have with me Devin or Darkness Tire.
Hi.
And Mason or Rad Dreams.
Yo.
How you fellas doing today?
Better than I deserve. That's not true. I'm actually pretty... Today's actually been a really shitty day for me. Tomorrow is a major project or a major part in my work project. That's the reason why I'm in Canada. And like within literally the last 4 hours, everything started going downhill. It went so bad downhill. I literally sent a message to my one of my managers. Was just like, do I have your permission to go home and drink now? And he said, he said, permission granted.
Nice.
It was just nothing went right. Nothing was going according to plan. And then tomorrow we have to go ahead and get started with the project. And we are literally not ready. We are so down. Have you guys ever just had a day where you just wanted to snap?
Yeah.
All the time, really.
Yeah. And I generally, whenever I'm at work, I really try to be a positive, a guiding light to my end users, making sure everybody's feeling comfortable, making sure everybody's feeling okay. But with the combination of things that happened today at work, with the hour-long drive where I accidentally took a call from a spam caller, and with the amount of homeless people in Montreal, I was like about a couple blocks away from my house or my Airbnb, and I pull up to a stop sign, and it's pouring down raining, and a homeless guy walks up with a coin, or like with not the coin, but with a cup, looking for a coin.
Yeah,
and I just. Normally what I do is I just smile and just wave them back because I don't have anything to give them. But today I really just wanted to roll down the window and tell him to get the fuck out of here. But it's not his fault. So I didn't bother. But just today is one of those days where I am on the verge of snapping.
Yeah, you just weren't feeling it today.
Today was not a good day for me. But how about you guys?
Well, for me, I'm doing pretty good today, feeling a little bit of that jet lag because I got back into town from my vacation that I took with my wife. So just feeling a
Where'd
little
you go?
Bit tired. We went to, well, we flew down to Savannah, Georgia to visit some of our relatives. And then we drove from Savannah, Georgia to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and spent a lot of time there. So it was a really nice kind of relaxing, like almost beach getaway sort of trip.
That's awesome. That's a really cool trip.
That was a lot of fun. We spent all of Friday in Savannah, Georgia. Got to sightsee. So beautiful. It was really, really cool experience. Very historical as well. So that was interesting. And then the rest of the time we spent in Hilton Head. And got to see the sights, beach it up, and eat a lot of good food.
Now, is that a place that you would consider living?
I mean, not for me personally. I wouldn't want to live there like permanently, but I wouldn't mind owning like a summer home or like a like go there for the winter sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like. I don't know. I couldn't see myself living there permanently just because of the climate. It only has like one or two seasons. Like it doesn't have winter.
Oh, that, well,
I actually like that.
I was saying, a lot of people would move, like would, by hearing that, they'd be like, it's time to go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm weird because like, I like wintertime, but there it's like perpetually summer more or less.
Mm-hmm. See, with being up here in the northern part of like Canada, somebody was telling me that in the wintertime, it's not unusual to have like a negative, I think it was a negative 25 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Which is negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like I was talking to our relative, his name's Georgie, and he was saying like the highest that they've gotten since he's been there would be like maybe the lowest that the temperature would get would be like a 45 degrees.
I need a winter house there.
Woo! That's awesome.
Yeah, and he said like the average during like winter time would be like maybe a 55 roughly.
See, now that is exactly what you'd want. It's not
it's very doable.
It's not cold.
Yeah, it's not like too cold, but it's also, you know, you're not freezing to death.
They probably put on winter jackets. Oh, it's so cold.
It's going to be down to the 50s today.
Yeah, and then, like in Ohio, if it reaches like 55 in the wintertime, we put on like shorts with sandals, like a tank top.
It's a home opener game.
Yeah.
We're just numb to it at this point. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, that's great weather.
Yeah, we're just like, all right, let's go.
Chris, what's that's up awesome. On your end?
Yeah, I've had a really good like past week. I will lie. I spent the past weekend in Columbus. I went up down to Columbus. I was on my girlfriend's dad's friend's boat, like basically the entire weekend.
Nice.
We were able to we drove down on Friday. We actually watched the fireworks from the boat because they were doing fireworks over the lake on the boat.
That had to have been really cool to see.
It was incredible. We had the best seat ever. We had the best spot on the lake. it was right in front of us. It was incredible. Then next day we did some more driving around on the boat. Went to went out to eat. There's some different restaurants off the river, and they have a boat docking pull up spot and everything. It was incredible. And then we grilled out on Sunday. And then on top of that, I accepted a job offer for a new job.
Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
Where at?
It's at another software company. I will be, again, another, as you guys know, I'm a software tester. I will be assuming that same role again. Mm-hmm. But it will be for a lot more money.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. I've been working really hard for the past 5 years in my current role, and I just want to learn more, go to a different company, mm-hmm. see what things are about. I'm going to be working on a different operating system, so instead of Windows, I'm actually going to be working on Mac.
Oh, wow. That explains the pay increase.
That is a big shift.
Yeah. So some of my friends that worked with me previously also went to this company. So they said they absolutely love it. The people I've met so far have been all incredible people, really nice. And I look forward for a new start and to learn some new stuff.
Are you going to pay off your student loans now?
Nope. Gonna sit on that until Mr. Biden says what he's doing.
Well, anyhow, much father, let's go ahead. Do you guys want to talk about what we're gaming or just hop into our topics? Because last time we had a lot of topics we didn't get to.
Let's just jump right in. Yeah, let's jump right in.
So in terms of what we're playing, I don't think Chris and I really had a chance to really play a lot of games since our last podcast. So I personally don't have a lot of to contribute to that. So I'm fine with just jumping into the topics.
Yep. Same here.
Only thing I played was Yakuza, Like a Dragon. I still absolutely hate and have no point in the turn-based system. However, the game has so much Yakuza charm that I just can't turn it away. I went back to Star Wars Squadron, but I'm like, it's okay. But anywho, there was a topic that I wanted to talk about, and it was about, there was two things that I wanted to talk about. We'll talk about just the one. On the last episode, before that, I actually had saw my very first movie in a movie theater after post-pandemic. So when the pandemic started, I really stopped going to theaters because you never knew whether it was going to be safe. You didn't know what exactly it could be. You didn't know. Movie theaters are already not the cleanest place. So I just took myself out of that environment. And with theaters closing, it was perfectly fine. But with the Fast and Furious 9 movie, which, by the way, this movie is crazy, I decided to go ahead. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to break my movie theater streak, and I'm going to go and see my first movie this year in the theater, and it was going to be Fast 9. So the first day, and keep in mind, I did say first day because I had tried to do this more than once. The first day, I tried to go to the theater in Montreal, and I could not find parking. Like, it was downtown because I wanted to see it in IMAX. It was downtown, could not find parking anywhere. I drove around the block for 30 minutes and I said, forget it. The movie's already started. I'm good. I'll go tomorrow. So Sunday comes around and I'm like, okay, I'll just take the metro downtown. I'll walk over to the place. It'll be perfect. It'll be fine. So I'm like, oh, well, this would be a perfect time. I can ride my bicycle to the metro, hop on the metro, go downtown, see the movie, have a good lunch, and just come right back on, hop on my bike, and go back home. So as I get the bike outside, I start pedaling, and I get about maybe 10 yards. And then I hear a loud clacking noise, like clank. And I'm like, huh? So I hop off the bike, and I realize that the rear brakes have fallen off.
Oh.
And like something on the back had snapped, and I no longer had the rear brakes were just sitting there dangling.
You gotta be kidding me.
I kid you not. So I'm like, shit, I already bought these tickets and I gotta go to the metro. Well, I just will just slow down. I just won't use the front brake too hard. I'll just be front braking it. So I go ahead and I'm riding to the metro, and it is like 80 degrees, 100% humidity. It is hot. Like, I am sweating bullets. I am like, every time I hit the brakes, I'm just hearing squealing noises like I'm honking a horn. And I get to the metro and I have like a little a sweat rag. I wipe off the sweat rag. I get into the metro. I'm like, okay, I just need to buy a metro ticket. So I get over to like the little kiosk where you buy a metro ticket, and there's two people in front of me. So the first lady, she is taking her good old time buying a metro ticket. I do not know what takes her so long. It was probably about 5 minutes. She turns around and she looks at the guy and she says something in French, but then she points at the machine and then she throws her arms up in the air and then she walks away. So I'm like, oh, the machine must be broken. Well, the guys who she talked to were like, oh, we can fix it. So they start typing in. They spend 7 minutes trying to get a damn ticket out of this thing.
Oh, jeez.
And they finally get a ticket. And then they're those kind of people who won't move out of the way to put their stuff in their like wallet. Oh, well, fuck, nobody else is behind me. I'll just put it. Oh, I can just put it here. Oh, let me just check this text. Let me send this email real quick. They finally move out the way. And I'm like, what is wrong with this machine? It can't be taking this long. I click on the machine. I got my ticket within 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And then so I'm like, okay, well, now I'm kind of annoyed. My brakes are broken. It's hot as shit. I just got this ticket that took way too long. And then I start going down the metro, and I see the train is like right there. I'm like, perfect. I can just hop right on the train. So I'm thinking, with my luck right now, the second I was going to get to the train door, I was going to close in my face, right? It did not. So what happened was, I got on the train, and I'm like, finally, I'm going to literally make it at the exact – I'm going to make it to the theater 5 minutes before the movie. It's going – or no, I wouldn't even say 5 minutes. I was going to make it to the theater like 15 minutes before the movie starts. I'm like, perfect. So I hop on the train, and I notice there's a suspicious amount of people on the train this time. Like, I've never seen the train this packed.
Yeah.
It was like Sunday afternoon, like literally a Sunday afternoon. And I'm like, okay, this is weird, but it's fine. But then I noticed that for some reason, the train is like really hot. Like, it's really hot on the inside. It's like the AC is not working. So I'm just standing there, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing there. And I notice there's like displays on the train, like lets you know which stop you're at. They're off. So I'm like, what is going on with this train? So then they make an announcement in French, in which I didn't understand. But luckily, somebody was next to me. They were just like, are you serious? Somebody else said, what did they say? They said, oh, the train is going to be down for another 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
So I am like, God damn it. So I'm like, I already bought the ticket. I just bought this metro. I already bought the movie ticket. So I'm like, I can't stay here or else I'm going to have just wasted $20. So I run upstairs, hop back on my front brake bicycle, ride as fast as I can in 80 degree, 100% humidity, back to the hotel, park the bike up front, attach it to a lock, hop in my truck, drive downtown to the thing I did not want to do. As I'm driving downtown, somebody gets in an accident and there's stopped traffic right downtown.
That's just a whole myriad of just things going wrong.
And when I get to the movie theater, I couldn't find parking. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pay to park in a parking garage because I've already paid for this ticket. It's fine. I literally, right next to the fucking movie theater is a parking garage I didn't see the first time.
Oh my God.
And then I'm like, great, how much is it to park? And they're like, oh, it's only $6. I'm like, $6? It was cheaper to park in the parking garage than it would be to find a street. But keep in mind, I'm in Canada, in Montreal, which was French colonized or whatever. They are not, this is not an American-like city. An American-like city is built for pickup trucks, right?
Yes.
Montreal is not. I am driving in this parking garage and like, it's literally like 6 feet height maximum. The truck is like 5'11".
Christ.
So you're like barely able to fit.
I am literally barely able to fit. As I'm walking in this parking garage, I am myself ducking so I don't hit stuff. So I eventually park and then like I walk up, I go see the movie. I ended up like missing the first like 5 minutes. And as I'm sitting there, I'm enjoying the movie. But then I'm like, I just paid $20 to see this movie. I can't stop at any moment. I don't want to go to the bathroom because I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
I can't play on my phone. I can't rewind this. Why did I just come to this movie theater? I guess where I'm at in my life is just I would like to stop the movie and go do something else and then come back to it. Like I want to be able to play on my phone and not miss something. I want to be able to go, oh, let me put the subtitles on because I didn't hear what they just said. It just seems like the movie theater experience for me is just, it's no longer fun. And here's how unfun it is. This morning, I actually canceled my AMC theater movie pass that I've had for the last 3 years.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. I was just like, I think I am officially done.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so I think I'm done with movie theaters. But sorry about hijacking that, guys.
No, you're okay. I was really curious why you were feeling that way.
And I don't know if it was because like the negativity that it took for me to get to the movie theater, plus because I love popcorn. Like popcorn is one of my favorite things, especially movie popcorn. I was like, I know I was running late. I'm like, let me just get a popcorn. Let me get a small popcorn. How much is it going to be? And the guy was like, $9.
Whoa.
And I just sat there. I'm like, okay. So I paid $20 to get this movie. I paid $9 for popcorn. I paid $6 to park. I'm at $40-some.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not including the Metro ticket that I bought that I couldn't even use. So I was at $50 to see Fast 9. It was not worth it. And in IMAX, like I feel like IMAX is the biggest scam because all it was just a slightly bigger movie theater. Like it wasn't like wrapping around or anything. I was just like, this feels like a regular movie.
Yeah. I've always felt like IMAX was odd because they really preach this like this improved like sound and everything. But I'm like, man, the sound and everything sounds just as good in like regular theater.
It literally did. I'm like, I don't need this. But anywho, since I'm on the topic of movies real quick, I just want to do a quick sidebar. Did you guys see the crossover that nobody asked for, but we all kind of want?
What would that be?
The Courage the Cowardly Dog and Scooby-Doo movie crossover.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yes.
I did not see that coming, like, at all. And when they officially announced it, I was so unbelievably hyped. And, like, the trailer for it itself is, like, really, really well done. And what I liked about the trailer was that it was, like, a really nice like mixture of the animation style that Courage is known for, as well as, you know, the style that Scooby-Doo is known for. So it was like this really nice blend of two beloved shows. And it's so crazy because we have not heard from Courage the Cowardly Dog since what? 2002?
Yep. 2002.
That was when the last episode aired, and it's still like in the recesses of our minds because it was such an impactful show. And I think the, just that collaboration, that crossover between Scooby and Courage is like this perfect element of, two widely recognized, franchises.
I have to 100% agree. There is still Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes that give me nightmares to this day.
Yes, agreed.
Whoever the writer for that was, they did a damn good job of scaring children.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of those shows that Cartoon Network did that, yes, it was a children's cartoon, but it didn't feel like one.
It really didn't. I'm so scared of some of that stuff as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Like, to this day, I quote a lot of the episodes.
I just, it is such a legitimately good show. Do you guys remember, because if you look up Courage the Cowardly Dog, you're going to get a bit of misinformation because some people say it lasted from 1999 to 2002. Some people say it lasted from 1996 to 2002. But here's why they say 2006 or 1996. Because in February 18th of 1996, Cartoon Network aired a pilot. It was called The Chicken from Outer Space. Do you guys remember that? Because I do.
I remember that. I remember watching the episode.
Yeah. So, like, the segment was nominated for an Academy Award because it was so good, but it ended up losing, but it lost to Wallace and Gromit.
Okay, that's fair.
And then the short was eventually greenlit to become its own spinoff series, which premiered November 12th, 1999, and ended on November 22nd, 2002. And do you know why it was canceled?
No.
It had nothing to do with the fear factor. They just said that, oh, teenage boys just don't think this is interesting anymore.
What?
That's a lie.
That is a straight up lie.
I love that show.
Oh, they should just bring it back, honestly. I'd watch it now.
I would too. Honestly, as long as they do it justice, I would rewatch it.
Yeah, if they got a good writer and
none of this
I don't know who wrote it.
None of this Teen Titans Go bullshit.
Yeah, no, that's complete garbage. I don't know why they did that.
At least Teen Titans Go, like, they're self-aware of what they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But I hate, because I always thought Courage the Cowardly Dog ran a lot longer than it did. It was only on for 52 episodes.
Yeah, but each episode was pretty quality. Like, I can't really think of, like, an episode off the top of my head that I deemed as, like, bad.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of one either.
Neither. Honestly.
Like, for me, the most iconic episode for me and the one that I go to a lot is the episode about King Ramses.
Yes, with the guy with the three hairs sticking out.
Yes.
Return the slug.
Yeah, return the slug. and he's got like an old school like record player, and he's just like the man in gauze.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Oh, I loved it. And then
that one in the Pandora's box.
That one was so cool.
That one's the one that gives me nightmares. Like that creepy ass box and that bug chasing him around the entire episode. It's so gross. I was just like, ugh.
The one episode that always creeped me out was, I think he was like a relative of Muriel's, and he was like a hairstylist or something, and he kept on like saying naughty.
Yeah, I do
remember that episode. I did not like that at all. I don't know what it was.
But yeah, that episode always kind of freaked me out a little bit, just because like he gave off this like weird vibe.
I think my favorite Courage the Cowardly Dog episode had to be when like the tornado hit their house and it turned Muriel into a baby.
Oh my god, I was just referencing that today.
That was so funny because you're making macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
Because in the episode, and this was my humor as a child, and I laughed so hard because like Muriel, as a baby, is just like, I want some macaroni and cheese. As a Kurt is like, okay, because it's like the house is destroyed. It's just like a stove.
Yep.
So he starts making macaroni and cheese after the house is destroyed. He puts it in front of Muriel. Muriel slaps it on the ground, and she was like, more macaroni. This goes on for like 6 minutes. More cheese. Too much macaroni. And then after he finally gets it perfect, she's like, ah. And then he's like, really? And she slaps it across the floor. She was like, I hate macaroni and cheese.
That shit gets me every time.
But yes.
Every time.
But I love how we just talked about Courage, even though in the spinoff, that Courage would not be the leader in that one. Like,
No.
Scooby-Doo. It's like the main focus in the crossover is going to be Scooby-Doo, and they're going to, you know, stumble across nowhere, and they're going to have to, you know, navigate their way around it. But I'm really excited for it.
I am as well. I will definitely, if it comes on to streaming, I will definitely see it. I might even buy that one, but...
Same.
Changing gears a little bit, because we're talking about, like, the spookiness of Courage the Cowardly Dog, as well as Scooby-Doo. But there was one video game studio that I would say is definitely can be up there when it comes to the fear factor.
Yes.
This particular studio is most known for obviously Death Stranding, which was a PS Sony exclusive because PS4.
Yeah, Walking Simulator, yes.
A Walking Simulator that a lot of people did not like, and it also is coming a director cut. But they also, before Hideo Kojima made that game, he made what was a small little demo on the Sony store, and it was called PT, which was supposed to be a potential reboot of the Silent Hill series, which Kojima is, I think that's what Kojima is originally known for, at least his work, I think, in Silent Hill. I'm sure somebody will correct me. But after the, not necessarily success of Death Stranding, because it was not a sales success, Sony being pretty much official, they were just like, we're good on the next project. We don't need it. And then so with Kojima kind of not having their Sony at home, they were kind of at a loss. However, with Microsoft being thirsty, they were just kind of, and I mentioned this on one of the,
dude, the thirst was real with them.
I mentioned this on one of the episodes. Feel free to go back and listen to all of our episodes because I did mention this. I said at some point Microsoft is probably going to buy Kojima, and that's not what happened. Microsoft and Kojima, or I believe it's more Kojima than Microsoft, wrote a letter saying that we have the intention of bringing a project to Microsoft. That's all it said.
Yeah, basically they're going to, Xbox would publish Kojima's next game.
And do you think that this is a smart move for Kojima? Do you think this is a smart move for Microsoft? Because the reason Sony dropped it was because it wasn't a sales success.
I think it's an incredibly smart move for both.
Oh, yeah, because like if Sony's not going to, you know, have Kojima, who's just frankly a genius, work for their studio, Microsoft, you know, they might as well snag him up.
Yeah. Like, sure. Was Death Stranding absolutely not for me? 100%. I would never play that game. But
yeah, me neither.
You can't judge an artist by one work.
Like one misfire. Because
yeah.
Like Kojima, he is most known arguably for his work in the Metal Gear Solid series, and that is one of the most, if not the most prolific Sony title.
Yep.
And just the way that Konami and Sony treated him after number 5, I'm not surprised that he would want to disassociate himself.
Yeah, he's got a real chance here to make something really special.
Oh, exactly.
He's going to have honestly access to a humongous audience at this point. What we've been seeing in these rumors and leaks is that it's going to be whatever it is going to be cloud-based, which will be interesting. My thought is Game Pass, because currently the only way to play anything on the cloud for Xbox is you have to have Game Pass Ultimate. So I'm curious to see what the plan is, if it's going to actually be a genuine, just like full cloud-based game, or is it going to be you can download it or you can play it on the cloud?
Yeah.
Either way, it sounds like it's going to Game Pass. And Microsoft probably paid a very pretty penny for that. So that is just, that's huge for Kojima. And then for Microsoft, you're going to attract people that normally wouldn't have played this game before, because like you said, it would have been on Sony's stuff. And so now you've got PC players that can play it. You've got the Xbox players.
And like really to piggyback off you, Chris, now that Kojima is most likely going to be affiliated with Microsoft, people who are a part of that Sony family are going to be more incentivized to kind of jump ship and be like, okay, well, let's see what this is about.
Absolutely.
But you guys actually think that's true. Do you think that Kojima, who has only made the Metal Gear Solid series, as well as Death Stranding, do you think that would be that Microsoft, by Kojima going, let's say, exclusive, again, this is not necessarily what this is, but let's say they do go exclusive, do you think that would be a reason for someone who has never considered an Xbox, let's say a Sony person, a Nintendo person, is Kojima enough to have somebody cross ships?
So I personally would say it's enough to pull someone into your ecosystem And so for Xbox, that's very loose. It's very generic what that means. Like, that could mean getting an Xbox Series S or an X or even an Xbox One at this point.
Right.
It also could mean just PC or phone. So if like that alone could be all Microsoft wants, because that's Microsoft's plan at this point.
And personally, from like a Sony player's standpoint, Kojima has a big enough pull and a big enough, like, quote unquote star power that in my eyes, it would be enough to at least inject that sort of brain worm into somebody's, you know, head, like, huh, maybe I should consider, you know, trying this out, because such a renowned person within the industry is going to be making a title. So I think it would be enough to get some people over to the platform. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, the more people on Game Pass, the better, because that just means Microsoft's going to continue to invest in that. Mm-hmm. In that subscription, and we all love that subscription.
Oh yeah,
we literally do.
Mason, how's that backlog doing?
I haven't been able to game a lot because I've been busy, but I'm really looking forward to this summer to really buckle down and knock some of that backlog out.
For sure.
And since we're on the topic of video games, this kind of segues nice into our next topic of Overwatch, which we haven't really talked about a lot on the podcast. Turns out that the United States Department of Justice, of all things, is looking into the professional Overwatch League's soft salary cap policy, which punishes teams who pay players too much. And This story kind of took me by surprise. It was first reported by Kotaku, and I didn't honestly know that this was an issue, because I'm not too familiar with the Overwatch League. I'm more familiar with like League of Legends and their pro scene. So this kind of took me by surprise, but apparently the soft salary cap violates the 1890 Sherman Antitrust Act. Because the players are not unionized. And for those of you who do not know, basically the Sherman Act is an antitrust law which promotes free competition amongst those who are engaged in commerce. It is the guiding principle within the United States in our capitalistic society. It's a really, really crucial and important law, and I can see both sides to this. I really do, both from a player standpoint and from a like a company standpoint. There's not a lot of information as to what's going to happen, because Activision Blizzard surprisingly did not immediately respond for comment.
Of course not,
because
why would they?
They want to keep their cards close to their vest in this, but they are complying with the Justice Department. A spokesperson for Activision Blizzard told Dot Esports, you know, the generic blanket statement, quote, "We deliver epic entertainment to our fans and support our players and teams in producing the most competitive and enjoyable esports leagues in the world." So they didn't even respond to this criticism at all. They just did a blanket political statement, more or less.
So,
I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on this like salary cap?
Chris, what's your thought?
I honestly don't have a whole lot of thoughts on it. I mean, is it say like what? Sorry, about the background.
Whose girlfriend is louder on the podcast?
Yeah, definitely mine.
The wife.
Did it say what the cap is?
So the cap is, from what I saw, it looked to be $1.6 million for the cap.
I mean, they should be fucking happy with
but
that.
But keep in mind, it's not per person, it's per team.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that is per team, not per person.
That's pretty low.
Yeah.
I guess it really depends, though, on how many people are actually watching this league. Like, I don't know anyone that watches Overwatch League.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who watches it. I personally don't because, I mean, I don't really find it entertaining. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I am going to keep my opinions on Overwatch to myself, considering I will tell you right now, if you say anything negative about Overwatch on Twitter, it will never end.
Really? What do you mean? Like, like what? People attacking you? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I have Overwatch people are just...
They're crucifying you.
No.
Overwatch people are very kind. I appreciate having them as fans.
So are the Overwatch fans or the fandom, is it kind of similar to like the Super Smash fandom?
Yes, probably worse.
Wow, that's surprising.
Because at this point, Super Smash fandom is probably at this point matured.
Yeah.
Age, whereas Overwatch is literally everybody and their mom.
I feel that.
So like I can see Overwatch player, like people that play it, like of course being passionate about the game, but I'm just trying to think, like watching that pro league, like I can't imagine it's pulling that many viewers. I mean it could be because like sure there's a bunch of like pro games out there that pull a decent amount of viewers, but I'm just thinking Overwatch. I mean, like,
yeah.
It's been out a while.
It's been out for a hot minute.
Yeah, and 2 is coming. I mean, I don't know.
So Forbes says the Overwatch League says viewership for each of the qualifying weeks in the West region more than doubled year over year, as well to 89,000 viewers for 1 week.
That's not bad.
That's actually pretty good. All right,
51% from 2020. So yeah, it has a growing fan base.
It does have a fan base.
It does have a growing fan base. It is basically, Chris, it's like the entire city of Illyria.
Not surprising.
No, but when it comes to like salary caps, I can see both sides of the argument. Yeah. On one hand, if you sign up and you agree to be a part of an Overwatch team and you agree to a salary cap, I don't see what you can complain about.
Yeah, because not only do you make money from your salary, you also make money from sponsorships.
You do, and you're making good money and you're doing something you love, and it most likely have an opportunity to springboard to something else. However, on the other end of the coin, I personally believe that some people, no, but when it comes to like salary caps, I don't think it's fair that everybody is like capped at the same level. If you're a team that consistently ranks at the bottom, is it fair that you have to keep the same amount of money as somebody who ranks at the top that just happens to have better players? You should be able to shell out more money to recruit better talent.
And yeah, in order to improve your standings.
In order to improve your standings, you look at Formula One, the teams that are doing the best are not like Hans. It's Mercedes, it's Ferrari, Red Bull, because they're shelling out the most amount of money. I think yes. That by you willing to shell out that money, you can make your team better. But again, I don't watch Overwatch, nor have I ever played it. It just does not seem like my cup of tea. So I hope that this resolution or the situation resolves itself where everyone is happy.
Yeah, because I know
me as well.
Salary cap is an issue in like professional sports, like the physical variety, like you know Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA. They do have issues regarding like contracts and salaries and things of that nature in order to keep things kind of competitive and balanced, because there are times where you know certain teams with more access to capital can you know acquire. You know, blockbuster players, you know, in these crazy deals.
Yeah, but let's go ahead and let's just change up the pace, because we all mentioned that all of us were not really familiar with the Overwatch League.
Yeah.
But there's also something that we also weren't familiar with.
Yeah.
And I think, Mason, you have the story on this one.
Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere as well. We all know that mobile gaming is a huge, huge part of the gaming sphere. And recently, a new mobile MMORPG was able to surpass games like Genshin Impact and Pokemon Go in terms of like how well they did in their debut. So... And this game was Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds. It made more revenue in just 11 days in its initial launch than Genshin Impact and Pokemon Go, which is insane because those games are hyper successful. They decimate their competition. There's honestly no comparison that can be made to those games. And for a anime game like Ni No Kuni to come out of the backfield and just be like, hey guys, don't forget about me, like that's a really good accomplishment for them.
Yeah, like after I saw this, because I had never heard of this until we had saw the news article, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, is it because of the pandemic? Is it because of the success of like other games that have set the same standard? Because I kind of want to download it to try and see.
Yeah, I do too, because I like Ni No Kuni. I really do.
Same. It was a great game.
So my thing is, because I haven't played it and I don't know a lot about it, as long as it is not predatory in their microtransactions, I will be all for it.
I agree with that sentiment.
Because that's one thing that Genshin Impact does really well, surprisingly, is they're not that predatory with their microtransactions and like their gacha mechanics. Because you can play the game and do well and not spend a dime.
Yeah, it's always good to see games push that really well. Yeah. That's one thing League of Legends pushed really well.
Because League, you honestly don't need to spend any money. Everything mm-hmm. is cosmetic.
Yes. Sea of Thieves does the same thing. Everything's just cosmetics. You don't have to do anything, buy anything extra.
Yeah.
So I love when games are good about that kind of stuff. I hope they remove that region lock soon.
Because it's not globally available for Ni No Kuni.
Oh, yes. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. However, otherwise, I would have downloaded it.
A global launch is expected soon.
Yeah, let's hope this year. Let's really hope.
Yeah, I do too, because I really want to play it.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and move on to our next topic. Yeah. So. We saw a little animated trailer come out recently.
Yes.
Talking about a little Mortal Kombat Legends. What did you guys think?
I didn't watch it, so I'm bowing out. Fair. I'll go on mute.
I'm going to be honest with you as well, Chris. I didn't get a chance to check it out either.
So, you guys are the worst.
So, Chris, what did you think of
it? Why did you guys put this on the list if I'm the only one that watched it?
Because... I tried to watch it before I put it on the list.
We gotta give
you like whatever. All right.
Paint a word picture, Chris.
I can't paint a picture. I'm not good at that.
You didn't watch it.
I'll just say it looks incredible. Go watch it if you haven't. I'm really excited for it, and I'm really excited for the different fights that they're gonna show.
I'll comment on it.
Now, is this a movie or is this going to be a series?
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, okay.
And animated movie. What's really nice about that is like the Mortal Kombat animated features are always bangers. Like they're just really well done. Like I've never seen an animated MK movie that isn't good.
I agree. I absolutely agree. One note, this might be a second movie. I don't know for sure. Okay. I haven't confirmed it myself, but my buddy said something about that, I will confirm it when I can.
Yeah,
I
definitely
didn't expect this topic to be on here and me be the only one to talk about it. So,
we'll then segue to the next one since we're on anime. GameSpot actually posted up a question very kind of similar to the question that we covered last week about the like most iconic video game villains, but with this one it is, what is the most iconic anime fight of all time? And
I think we actually all ended up agreeing on this.
Yeah, so we all did agree that
initially,
but when we switched to the second one, when we all thought was the second most iconic fight, that's when we all disagreed.
Yes,
at first.
So for the first fight, in terms of like what we regard as the most iconic anime bout of all time, no questions asked, is Goku versus Frieza, Dragon Ball Z.
Literally, we all agree that that is, when you think of an anime fight, oh, that one pops into your head.
Yeah, that is the first thing that pops into my mind is that fight. Because watching it as a kid and even now, just like the moments leading up to when like Goku turns Super Saiyan for the first time, you know, Frieza killing who he kills, and just that whole series of events is just, it really sticks with you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, as funny as Dragon Ball Z was about having like long drawn out episodes and fights, it was just these two characters, and just they had built so much like I don't even know what to call it. You just really wanted to see this fight.
Oh yeah!
And it finally happened.
It had so much history.
Yeah, build up history. It had everything. It had everything you would want in an iconic fight.
Oh yeah, and just like, and that what old school DBZ did well is it really left you hanging, in terms of like the cliffhangers, because it would draw out these episodes to make you watch every week. And
next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Random,
and it would make you want to tune in.
Fun fact for you guys. Do you guys know how long the Goku versus Frieza episode, how long that fight was? Like how many episodes?
Because I 20.
Wasn't it?
It's 19.
19.
It took 19 episodes.
And you know what was funny about it? Like, some of it was just Goku just powering up. Yeah.
Like, literally, it was like full spirit bomb.
Literally, yeah. 21 minute episodes of him.
Yeah.
And it was still like universally loved. Like you just know those writers just had us by the balls.
Oh yeah, they did. They had our attention.
No, them writers were just like, how can we make this last a little bit longer? There's about to be a writer's strike real quick.
The one thing I will say about the continuation to DBZ, the Dragon Ball Z Kai, and what that does well is it cuts out a lot of that filler. But in some cases, that filler really adds to the story in only certain instances. And the one instance where it does add is obviously, you know, Goku versus Frieza.
Absolutely. And absolutely, like, hands down.
And like Dragon Ball Z as a whole, I think has a just smorgasbord of iconic fights and just really impactful moments, because the Goku versus Frieza, while number one, there are still so many others that pop into my mind as a very iconic fight in DBZ, such as the Teenage Gohan versus Cell.
Yep.
With the father and son Kamehameha.
That was absolutely epic. But when it comes for me, like, because when I gave you guys my second choice of like my second most iconic anime battle of all time, I actually ended up leaving out of the Dragon Ball Z realm. And I went to back when I don't even remember, this was like Saturday morning cartoons for me. And it was Yu-Gi-Oh! And for me, the number two was definitely Yu-Gi-Oh! Versus Kaiba.
And as soon as you said that, Devin, like, I immediately regretted like my choice, because I legit forgot that fight.
Iconic, legendary, because we're talking about a whole buildup. You've like literally the tension, you knew this was going to happen. You knew this was a thing, because the first season was Yu-Gi-Oh! Versus Pegasus, and the second season, I don't even know if it was the second season, it might have been the third season, where it finally happened, where it was a blue-eyed white dragon staring down Dark Magician. This is what we were waiting for. This is the this is Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield. This is the fight. Mm-hmm. And it happened, and there was no disappointment. It was exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
100%.
And that's the cool thing about their rivalry, because initially, like, the Yugi versus Kaiba fight that was the most iconic to me was their first fight with one another in the first couple episodes to the series, where, you know, Yugi brought out his Exodia, and, you know, because Kaiba had three blue eyes white dragons out on the field. He was on the verge of victory, and Kaiba says to Yugi, draw your last pathetic card, Yugi. And then he replies, my grandfather's deck has no pathetic cards. And then he just busts out the most overpowered thing in existence, which is Exodia. And then just that scene where he's just like, Exodia, obliterate! It's just, it's so hype.
That was incredible.
That is also literally not how Yu-Gi-Oh! Is played, but...
No, it isn't, but...
It never is.
And that's the one fun thing about the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show is they take liberties, and when I say liberties, I mean liberties, with the game mechanics and the rules, like, fucking Yugi or Yami, whatever you want to call him, like he straight up makes up shit on the fly. I'm just like, wait, what? You can do that?
Literally.
Like, since when can you catapult something into a moon on the field? Like, what? The heart of the cards, most busted mechanic ever.
Incredible. Just, just incredible. Yeah, you guys have any other...
My number two, my gut reaction for my number two wasn't the Yugi versus Kaiba. It was Rock Lee versus Gaara in Naruto when Rock Lee drops the weights off of his feet. Or not his feet, his legs.
Yep.
Like, that shit was badass.
Like that moment, watching it as a young kid, I was just so hyped. Like I rewounded that, like, I can't even tell you how many times.
Chris, what was your second most iconic fight of all time?
Well, it's Rock Lee again. Rock Lee is a fucking beast. Rock Lee versus Kimimaro.
I love that fight.
That fight was absolutely incredible. Rock Lee literally went drunken fists in the fight. And I was just like, as a kid, you're watching, you're like, why is he moving like that? but then you're like, as you got over, you're like, he was drunk as fuck.
What's really funny about that is in the Japanese version, the bottle says sake because Tsunade accidentally gave him a bottle of sake instead of like his actual medicine. But in the English version, the dub, the bottle says medicine, and he gets, you know, the quote unquote drunken feeling off of medicine and not alcohol. So that's
interesting.
It's an interesting kind of sensor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that fight was absolutely incredible. And yeah,
Naruto had some really good fights.
Naruto versus Pain was absolutely insane.
Oh yeah,
that was absurd. That even play. Jiraiya versus Pain was insane. Oh,
God, so sad.
Yeah.
Poor went out for the boy right there.
There was just a lot of really good episodes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Good fights. They had iconic fights just overall.
Yeah, like Naruto versus Sasuke. Not only their first fight, but their last fight together was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... I liked one of my favorites was Neji.
Oh yeah,
I love Neji.
It's such a shame that he didn't get more time in the sun.
Yeah, well, spoiler, he died eventually.
any pause between that spoiler?
Well, it's an old series at this point.
Yeah, it's like what 10 years, 15?
No,
it's oldie.
It's a little bit older than that. I don't remember when it first
he died happened. A long time ago. I don't even know if he made it to Shippuden.
Naruto first came out in 1999.
Jesus, yeah. So.
So, yeah, so we've all seen these sweet ass fights, and I'm sure our listeners have ones that they think of as well. So if you have any that you want to throw at us, hit us up on our Twitter page.
Yeah, definitely. What are your thoughts on most iconic fights?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump into our last topic real quick.
Get into this last one.
Nintendo finally announced what they've been working on with their Switch. So for those of you that do not know, Nintendo released what we think is the Pro, what we think is the Nintendo Switch Pro. And it's called the Nintendo OLED Switch. Nintendo Switch OLED. I don't know why they called it that. Like, I kind of get it. So you're trying to differentiate it from the original Switch because they don't want to run into a Wii U again. But, like, at the same time, this, what I've read so far on specifications on this thing, I don't want it. It didn't do what I would have liked to have seen. Like, a big thing for a lot of us is the battery life. Well, it looks like it's the same battery.
Yeah, it does not improve upon the battery life.
No. So it's like, it's average, it's advertising on their spec sheet, 4.5 to 9 hours. So it's still the same old garbage.
Which is really not a lot. Like,
it's not.
That's when you're getting into gaming for the day.
Yeah, and like, exactly.
The fact that it's $350 is a little bit of a steep price tag for not that much of an upgrade. And the fact that it does not offer 4K support, which is what we wanted,
is
a big kind of like slap in the face.
Yeah, it's really odd.
Because like this, here are literally the only improvements that are to the new console. Is that the screen is brighter and more colorful. It has a 7-inch screen versus a 6.2-inch.
Mm-hmm.
It has improved speakers. It has twice the storage space, which is nice. But the battery life is the same. And then it has a new kickstand design that improves its stability when you place it on a table. So it's like, I'm paying 50 extra bucks just for that? No thanks.
Yep. And the odd thing they did with the video output. So instead of, like you said, instead of going to 4K, so it outputs to 1080p via HDMI and TV mode. And then in handheld mode, which Nintendo damn well knows that's what we're playing in the most, 720p.
You know, I can see why Nintendo did not bring this to E3.
It would have been a huge disappointment.
And that's why they didn't do it, because they could never have shoehorned that in, because I really, but again, it goes back to Nintendo is going to make money no matter what Nintendo does.
And yeah.
Because you said it was what, 350?
Yes.
Yep. 350. So
you could buy either an Xbox Series S and have $50 to do whatever you want, or you can buy a digital edition PS5 for $50 more. You can have the handheld, but is this worth the additional upgrade? I'm going to say no.
No, because I'm going to say no as well. The standard Switch model is still $300. The Switch Lite model is $199. So at this point, in my eyes, you're just better off kind of skipping this quote unquote upgrade and just sticking with the standard, or just going for the Switch Lite.
So this is like the Wii U of, this is like the new Wii U is what you're telling us.
Yeah, kind of. But here's the thing. I still think it's going to sell well.
Of course, it's Nintendo. They could ship
the box as well. It's so like, I can tell you right now, from every, the group chat, and I sent the like the link to that, just off of looks, they said they liked it. They were the color scheme of
it. Yeah, I mean, it looks like a nice system.
It looks really nice. It looks clean.
But yeah, my BMW looks nice, but it's a piece of shit.
You're damn right it is.
It's not worth, it's not worth the upgrade. It's not.
Yeah, it really isn't.
But we've reached that generation where you're no longer like saying, oh, is it worth the upgrade? It's just like, well, it's the new thing. I have to have it. People are going to flood out into the streets. They're going to buy. There's going to be like massive riots so people can get their hands on this slightly better upgrade. And I truly think that this is one where you can stay home. I truly think that as a consumer, if this is what we've been waiting for this entire time, keep it. We want better. We want more from you, Nintendo. You're taking all of our money. We love you for everything you're doing, but come on now. There's a whole new generation of consoles, and this is your answer?
Yeah, like, they really should have been pushing a like at least like a 15-hour battery That should have been what their plan was.
9 hours max is not enough.
Yeah, because like you've never hit the 9 hours is the thing. No. Like I don't know. I don't even know how you get it to hit that. I think about like 5 hours is all I could typically get. 5-6 hours.
If you just played the, if you turn on the fully charge your Switch and you just put on a game and you sit at the title loading screen and you do not touch it and walk away, you might be able to reach 9 hours. But if you're, the second you start doing anything, that's taking that battery life away.
Now, 100%.
15 hours. Okay. If you would have given me a 15 hour, like the short range 15 hours, that's fantastic. Okay. We get a better battery life. We're willing to accept the 720p for longer battery life. But if I'm paying an additional $50 more, 1080p standard, whether I'm plugged in or not, 15 hour battery life. And then you can say, okay, this is a new model. But what you just showed, what you just sold us is just, it's not worth additional 350.
It's a refresh. Yeah, it's basically a refresh.
It really is.
So yeah, Nintendo, do better. Awesome. Well, guys, that's really all of our topics.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got through.
We plopped through today.
Yeah, this one was good. We were able to hit up our normal stories. Nothing controversial except for our opinions on Overwatch. And I will not be tweeting about that. But yeah, like let's go ahead and let's do our sign-offs. I will go first. I am one of your hosts, also known as but Darkness Tiger. You can find me controlling the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers, and please be sure to give us a like and subscribe. And if you see me at the top of the leaderboards, just mind your own business because I am still better than you. All right.
All right. And I am iCamellion I, or Chris, whatever you prefer. And you can find me on twitch.tv/iCamellionI or on Twitter at Chameleon Games. And that's Kamelion.
And I am Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. You can always find me at my YouTube page, Rad Dreams Review, where I cover a myriad of different topics from, you know, video games, trading cards, anime, TV, movies, all that fun stuff. So feel free to check me out.
Heck yeah. And all right, boys. Well, again, listeners, thanks for coming and listening. Like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.